300. Meantime, aid workers begin searching for bodies at Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital following the Israeli carnage at the medical facility. Plus, the top UN court holding the second and final day of hearings on a case brought by Nicaragua against Germany over its support for the Israeli war on Gaza. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Good to have you with us. The Palestinians witnessing an endless spiral of death and devastation in Gaza, where a U.S.-Israeli genocide is now in its seventh month. Israeli aircraft and artillery fire continued in different parts of the Strip, targeting homes and gatherings of displaced people, killing more than 30 in a matter of a day. The mayor of Al-Maghazi and several others were killed when the regime hit central Gaza. Now, in the south, horrors continue even after Israeli occupation forces left the city of Khan Yunis on Sunday. So far, 84 bodies have been recovered from under the rubble. Palestinian medical sources say that the regime has also significantly damaged the city's hospital and equipment. Since the beginning of the onslaught on October 7th, more than 33,300 people have been killed in Gaza. In the meantime, aid workers have been searching for the bodies from the rubble of Al-Shifa Hospital after 2 weeks of Israeli attacks on the medical complex. According to relief teams associated with the World Health Organization, the hospital was reduced to ashes by airstrikes and shelling. At least 400 bodies have been discovered so far. Many patients had died inside the hospital as a result of the siege on the complex. Israeli forces pulled out of Gaza's largest hospital on Monday. They laid the siege of the building and staged attacks under a pretext that Hamas fighters were operating there. But the resistance movement has repeatedly denied having any of its fighters inside Al-Shifa or other health facilities. Judicial terrorists have murdered 6 Iranian law enforcement officers. They have attacked a police car in Iran's Sistan and Baluchistan province. And this is the latest terrorist attack happening in here in Iran, Sistan, Baluchistan province. We'll bring you more on that as soon as we get information for you. Some aid workers speak about a lack of equipment to pile through the rubble of Al-Shifa Hospital. Some others recount the horrors of the experience at a medical complex. Let's take a listen to them.
Once the Israeli army entered within a minute or two, they surrounded the entire area. And after that, they started using the loudspeaker to say, "This is the IDF. The entire area is surrounded and everyone must surrender." Then they started shooting at all the entrances, preventing anyone from moving. I spent 4 days there with my 2 little daughters, without any food or water. They cried from the hunger. And when they arrested my husband, he had not eaten for 3 days.
The relatives wish to ascertain the fate of their sons, whether they have been killed or missing or have been displaced to the south. The relatives are present to identify their sons and ensure they receive a proper burial. However, we lack the necessary equipment for this task, and time is not on our side. We must complete the job before the bodies decompose.
There are challenges in the Gaza Strip. We don't have forensic doctors or organizations that document the crimes of the Israeli occupation forces. We try to utilize the expertise of the World Health Organization and the UN Humanitarian Office in documenting the crime which occurred inside the Al-Shifa Medical Complex. The stench of death is everywhere. We try with the help of the delegation of the UN Humanitarian Office and the delegation of the World Health Organization to dig the mass graves in Al-Shifa complex and to identify the decomposed bodies and the body parts that were crushed by the Israeli occupation forces. We try to identify these bodies and document these crimes which were committed against these civilians.
Now, our correspondent Motiba Musabba joined us from central Gaza City of Darabella earlier with details regarding the situation in Gaza and the status of Khan Yunis, where Israeli forces withdrew from several days ago.
Given that the destruction there is massive, we can see that roughly 80% of the residential buildings and facilities were completely or partially destroyed. This reflects that there is hundreds of the Palestinian civilians are still trapped and missing under the rubble of those destroyed houses. And this means that the number of the Palestinian civilians who were killed over that attack will be massive. And as you know, that the civil defense crews, they are searching for those dead bodies, and they are trying to extract those dead bodies, having their basic tools, and they are using their bare hands in order to extract those dead bodies. So this actually complicates the process, and this complicates the extraction of those dead bodies. We can see that what happened in Khan Yunis is unprecedented in terms of the massive destruction and mass slaughter of the people there. And even when it comes to Gaza City and the northern part of Gaza Strip, the destruction that was inflicted in those areas by the Israeli occupation forces is nothing compared to what happened and took place in Khan Yunis City. What happened in Khan Yunis City is horrific, because as you know, that everything was breached by the Israeli occupation forces was targeted and destroyed. This included actually the residential buildings, the infrastructure, the pipelines, and everything. Everything was targeted and destroyed by the Israeli occupation forces.
The International Court of Justice has held a second day of proceedings on a case brought by Nicaragua against Germany over arms exports to Israel. Nicaragua argued on the first day of the hearing that Germany is facilitating the Israeli genocide in Gaza by providing weapons to the regime. The Nicaraguan ambassador accused German arms industries of making profits out of the devastating situation in Gaza. Carlos Jose Gomez also pointed out Germany's defunding of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, saying that a move shows Berlin's support for the bloodshed in Gaza. Now, Germany defended itself, saying that Israel's security is at the core of Berlin's foreign policy. In the meantime, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has held Nicaragua for filing the petition against Germany. It called on other countries to follow the example of Nicaragua and South Africa and take action against the genocide in Gaza. Political commentator Mohammed Khaled Said joined us earlier with his take on the Nicaraguan case at the top UN court against Germany.
It's an extremely important move that has been made by Nicaragua, very much in line with what our government has done with regards to taking Israel to the International Criminal Court. Or no, to the International Court of Justice, rather. So I think it's, number one, it will result again in the narrative around the involvement of European countries in aiding and abetting genocide being put out there much better in the public domain. Perceptions will be changed, and I think it will most certainly have an impact on the German population. And the German population will then put pressure on their government as a result of it. So most certainly, it will yield results. As you saw with what happened when South Africa went to the International Court of Justice, it shaped more public opinion against the state of Israel. So it's most certainly going to have that effect. And I think we need to commend Nicaragua and actually encourage more and more countries to do the same as Nicaragua has done, following in South Africa's tone.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says that the proposal made in the latest round of the Gaza ceasefire talks does not meet the Palestinians' demands. Hamas says that there was no change in the Israeli stance in the Cairo talks. Now, we've discussed that topic in our news review program.
It's time now for the news review of this bulletin. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says the proposal reached during the latest round of Gaza ceasefire talks does not meet the movement's and the Palestinians' demands. Hamas says Israel's position in the negotiations held in Egypt remains stubborn. The movement, however, said that it is still studying the proposal and will inform mediators of its response once it is completely reviewed. Hamas did not set any time frame for its response. The movement says that it wants a comprehensive ceasefire that would see the withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza and the return of Gazans to their homes. The humanitarian situation in Gaza is a main topic as well. The Cairo talks were attended by delegations from Israel, Hamas, Qatar, and the United States. Muslim Gopsai is a Palestinian scientist and author who joins us from Bethlehem. We also have Booker Ngessa, member of the Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement, who joins us from Nairobi. Welcome to you both. Muslim Gopsai, let me first start with you. Let's have your take on Israel's behavior here when it comes to these talks. First of all, they were prompted by the assassination of those charity workers from the World Kitchen Charity. Brought them out. Israel sent a delegation. And then you have supposedly these talks somewhat in motion, and then you have Israel come out now and say, we're going to attack Rafah, setting a time and date. It doesn't sound like Israel is very serious when it comes to these talks.
They intend to continue the genocide. That's their whole intention. And the Israeli government doesn't really care about its own citizens that are held by Hamas, including high-ranking Israeli military officers. This has been clear all along. It's a question of increasing pressure on Israel now after 6 months have passed. What are they going to do? Are they going to let the rest of these people die as they continue bombing the areas of Gaza into basically flattening all of Gaza? Or are they going to really make some sort of a deal? My own estimation is that there will be some sort of a deal. It will not be ideal for us as Palestinians, because it will try to save Israel and get Israel from, basically get it out of the mayhem of the trap that they put themselves into Gaza. And that's, to try and get something by political negotiations they didn't get by force.
Booker, why do you think so many are saying that if Israel was to agree to a ceasefire agreement, that would mark a huge defeat for Israel, in particular for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu?
First, it's important to realize that the Israel state under the leadership of Netanyahu is not going for negotiation on a point of strength. In fact, they have been forced by their failures in the battlefield to now resort to negotiation on a diplomatic way to cover their failures in the battlefield. It's important that the Zionist leadership has continuously said that the Hamas is a terrorist outfit. Why will they be on the table with the people they consider to be terrorists? It is indeed because of Netanyahu's failure in leadership within the occupied territory, where there is pressure for the hostages to be released.
Thank you very much for that. Let me thank Muslim Gopsai, a Palestinian scientist and author, and also Booker Ngessa, a member of the Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement. Thank you to you both. With that, we come to an end for this news review.
Moving on, Israel continues with all-out atrocities across the Palestinian territories. IOF has carried out fresh raids in the West Bank, abducting at least 20 Palestinians there in one day. The troops stormed Balata refugee camp east of Nablus, imposing a tight siege on the camp. A number of Palestinians were abducted and injured during the attacks. In Qalqilia, IOF soldiers raided several homes and facilities and set up multiple checkpoints. Elsewhere in Tulkarem, occupation forces stormed homes around the main hospital there, abducting at least 7 people. Another Palestinian was kidnapped in Ramallah following a raid on his home in the Al-Amara refugee camp. According to local sources, Israeli forces indiscriminately fired at vehicles and stores during the raid on the camp. The Lebanon's Hezbollah movement has targeted a gathering of Israeli soldiers and a tank in a fresh attack on a military base in the occupied territories. The operation came hours after Israeli air raids hit civilian areas in southern Lebanon. Mariam Saleh, our correspondent, has more.
And in the later hours of the night, the Israelis launched an aggression and attack against a residential area. In the Daisi town, the rescue workers, of course, went directly to see and lift the rubble just in case there's someone underneath. Miraculously, one man was removed alive from under the rubble in Daisi in the late hours of the night. Of course, the sounds of the drones continue throughout the South Lebanon, but the Israelis are saying that just now, in the last few minutes, sirens were sounding throughout Kiryat Shmona, and the biggest fear is that there are drones being flown from Lebanon against targets for the Israelis in those areas. We also had another four rockets, as they said, that were fired from Lebanon into Hardof. Hardof is considered what is the name that they use for the Lebanese occupied Shaba farms. And that is just now, recently. But of course, Hezbollah had a long day of operations. They launched a kamikaze drone against the post of Ras al Naqoura. And Ras al Naqoura, of course, it is a bit difficult for those who are targeting it, let's say the resistance, to see directly their target. We've seen the use of the Almaz rocket more frequently. And now we have the drones being used against this post, Ras al Naqoura, which is the coastal post for the Israelis. It's right on the coast. We also had another targeting of soldiers, several soldiers, several areas in Hadar Yanin using Burkan rockets. Hezbollah also had ambushed a group of the Israelis, saying that there was a possibility that they were trying also to infiltrate the Lebanese border. That was in the town of Hanita.
Now, Turkey is saying it's imposed trade restrictions on Israel as of Tuesday in response to the regime's onslaught in the Gaza Strip. The Turkish Trade Ministry said that the export ban has been imposed on a range of products, including construction materials such as cement, iron, and steel. The decision will remain in place, as the ministry says, until Israel declares a ceasefire and allows adequate and uninterrupted flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza. This while the Turkish government has been facing public criticism over its double standard as it continues trade with Israel, while at the same time it condemns attacks on Gaza. Over the past month, major Turkish cities have witnessed a number of rallies against Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. And that's it for this newscast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
The limelight.
The Israeli military has restricted the delivery of humanitarian aid to northern Gaza for weeks, and thousands of Palestinian children are currently going without adequate food and medication. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency has covered this story and tells us more. The United States' controversial decision to pause its funding for the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, earlier this year is reportedly likely to become permanent. Reuters carried out the report on Wednesday, 13th of March, attributing the likelihood to opposition at Congress to the country's financial contribution to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA. UNRWA provides healthcare, education, and other vital services to the Palestinian population in Gaza. The agency was accused by Israel in January of having links to a 7th of October operation launched by Gaza Strip's Palestinian resistance movements against the occupying regime in response to the intensification of Tel Aviv's decades-long crimes against Palestinians. The allegations prompted more than 10 donor countries, including the United States, Germany, the European Union, Canada, and Japan, to suspend all financial support of UNRWA. The funding from these countries used to make up the bulk of the funding received by the agency. The collective move against UNRWA came amid mass displacement and approaching all-out famine across Gaza, prompted by an ongoing genocidal war that the Israeli regime has been waging against the coastal sliver in response to the 7th of October surprise operation by the resistance in Gaza. According to the Reuters report, the bipartisan opposition in Congress to funding UNRWA makes it unlikely the United States will resume regular donations to UNRWA anytime soon, even as countries such as Sweden and Canada have said they will restart their contributions to UNRWA. A supplemental funding bill in the U.S. Congress that includes military aid to Israel and Ukraine contains a provision that would block UNRWA from receiving funds if it becomes law, adding, U.S. President Joe Biden's administration supports the bill. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller told reporters on Tuesday, 13th of March, "We have to plan for the fact that Congress may make that pause permanent." Reuters report added, "Any new funding would need the support of at least some Republicans in Congress who hold a majority in the House of Representatives. Many have expressed their opposition to UNRWA." It cited a statement by Representative Brian Mast, the Republican chair of the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Oversight and Accountability, one of the opponents, as alleging that UNRWA is a front. Brian Mast claimed, "It masquerades as a relief organization whilst building the infrastructure to support Hamas." Back in February, the United Nations agency UNRWA said some of its employees had been tortured by the Israeli regime to falsely admit that the agency has ties with Hamas and its retaliatory operation last October. The assertion made in a February report by UNRWA detailed various cases of mistreatment in Israeli detention centers against Palestinians, including several Palestinians who worked for UNRWA. The document said several UNRWA Palestinian staffers had been detained by the Israeli occupation army in Gaza, and that the ill treatment and abuse that said they had experienced include severe physical beatings, waterboarding, and threats of harm to their family members. The report said UNRWA staff members have been subject to threats and coercion by the Israeli authorities whilst in Israeli detention, and pressure to make false statements against the agency, including that the agency has affiliations with Hamas, and that UNRWA staff members took part in the 7th of October 2023 operation. The website of the Mehr News Agency has also covered this same story and tells us more. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has rejected a statement by the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, about aid supplies to the Gaza Strip, saying it is a declaration of the international community's failure. The resistance group made the remark on Wednesday, 13th of March, after UNRWA said there is no international will to bring aid into Gaza in light of the widespread and expanding famine in the besieged territory. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas said this is a declaration of failure for the international community and the United Nations, and submission to the policies of genocide carried out by the Israeli regime against our Palestinian people. It further called on all active parties to take immediate action to force the Israeli regime to open all land crossings with the Gaza Strip, particularly the Rafah and Kerem Shalom border crossings. The group also emphasized the need to address the security of emergency food supplies, which threatens hundreds of children with death. After the death toll of children due to malnutrition and dehydration reached approximately 30. The Israeli military has restricted the delivery of humanitarian supplies and aid to northern Gaza Strip for weeks, and thousands of Palestinian children are currently going without adequate food and medication. The prevention of aid convoys comes as humanitarian officials have already issued a dire warning stating that unless a ceasefire is implemented and aid is significantly increased in the Gaza Strip, the toll of malnutrition and disease is expected to rise, leading to an alarming loss of lives. Hunger has become the most pressing issue, with myriad problems facing millions of displaced Palestinians in Gaza, with aid trucks only able to bring in a small fraction of what is needed and distributed unevenly due to chaos in the territory. The Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor, a Geneva-based human rights group, has found that 71% of people in the Gaza Strip suffer from extreme hunger due to devastating Israeli war on the territory, and the Israeli regime's method of using starvation and hunger as a weapon of war. The Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor conducted an analytical study on a sample of 1,200 people in the Gaza Strip. A high proportion of those who took part in the study admitted that they ate insufficient amounts of food. 64% admitted that they ate grass. And also many people admitted that they had eaten expired food products.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. I continue to congratulate you in this holy month of Ramadan, and especially we are approaching the final days of the holy month of Ramadan, if not the final day. And we pray to Allah that in these final moments of this holy month, He engulfs us with His forgiveness and gives us another chance and a new, completely new, you can say, opportunity to be able to live a life of worship and goodness. We are currently discussing the 185th sermon of Nahjul Balagha, trying to understand the different duties that a manager has and understanding how he can be able to foresee certain things and be able to expect and create the right forms of expectations with regards to his people, with regards to the society. And inshallah, we shall expound on this issue in the coming segments.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that in Nahjul Balagha, he says that in the 185th sermon, he says, Allah, fatawakkau ma yakunu min idbari umurikum. Expect what happens in terms of the turning away of your affairs. That means your affairs not having the right results, rather sometimes the opposite results. And at the same time, he says that be careful, that sometimes what you connect is can completely separate. That means all those different things that you try to keep together might be separated. And of course, it may happen then in a society that little children or youngsters are used to perform different tasks. Now here it could also mean that these youngsters are people with lack of experience, inexperienced people, take over the affairs of the community, small affairs, big affairs, because it may be possible that sometimes the younger ones are learned and they can perform certain duties. That's an expectation, that's an exception. We talk about the general state of how people are, and that in the younger age they are still not very experienced and they can make mistakes. So sometimes it might happen that young children are forced to perform certain actions, or they are also forced to take up certain positions. Of course, this is not the best and the most, you can say, pristine form of a society. And this happens because of certain actions that we perform. One of those actions is that when fighting your brother and pointing against him with a sword is easier for a person than to earn halal income. This is a situation actually in the society. And how does this situation come about? Then later on, Imam Ali salam goes on to say, ذَاكَ حَيْثُ تَسْكُرُونَ مِنْ غَيْرِ شَرَابٍ. This happens when you become drunk, but without alcohol, without beer, without wine, you become drunk. And how do you become drunk without wine? He says, بَلْ مِنَ النِّعْمَةِ وَالنَّعِيمِ. because of the blessings that you get, those blessings that are in extreme amounts, those are the things that may cause a person to become drunk. Now, inshallah, we shall explain this in the coming segment.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian, holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that as a manager, a person needs to be able to realize that, see, things might not work the way we plan, the way we want, and the affairs might go in the opposite direction. The affairs might go in the opposite direction in what sense? In the sense that fighting becomes easier. It becomes easier to bear fighting with the sword than to earn halal wealth. It becomes easier, for example, it becomes a very simple thing for example, young children to be used for activities that are not for their age. Or, for example, all your affairs that you tried to join in, all those things that you tried to make happen are not happening. This is a reality. You should know that it can happen because of becoming drunk. And what is this drunkenness? This is a state where a person becomes drunk with blessings. Drunk with blessings means what? Means he's so engrossed in those blessings that he forgets the divine aims of creation, the divine purpose, and is just fixated on those blessings, looking at those blessings, enjoying them, but not really using them for a positive and fruitful, stay on earth, and to cause progress, real progress for the society in terms of their spiritual, dimension. So it is possible that this happens. So the main thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying, that these social maladies and these problems that happen in terms of poverty and difficulties in the society, in planning, in organizing, in achieving goals, is because when people get fixated on those blessings, and they are not fixated on their duties and responsibilities. Inshallah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our needs and our struggles in this holy month of Ramadan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Limelight.
Israel and its cult in the United States have used every means to break the spirit of Palestinian defiance and to make Palestine a permanent colony of the Zionist regime. Washington has been a willful partner in the Zionist regime's schemes. The Al-Aqsa storm operation and the resistance it has generated have proven both delusional. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. Palestine Chronicle wrote, "For many in positions of power and influence, common sense has been supplanted with Zionist mythical ideology and a cultish belief in heroic Israeli leaders, Nobel warriors, and peacemakers. Ever since European Zionists invaded the land of Palestine, Israel has made the indigenous people prisoners and refugees in their own land. Why? Until now, have their colonization and imprisonment received so little attention in the United States? Why has the nation that birthed the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence been willing to dismantle the long-established rules, norms, and standards of international law and risk a wider war in the West Asia region so that the apartheid regime of Israel can complete its goal of physically destroying the indigenous population of Palestine to create a Jewish-only state? Why do individuals in and out of government who have seen in real time the carnage in Gaza continue to defend the indefensible and remain bound to Israel?" The Zionist regime has been waging an ideological war on the truth since it declared itself a state in 1948. It has invested heavily, particularly in the United States, to manufacture a legitimacy it does not have. to embed the myth that Israel is a small yet brave and vulnerable democratic state that deserves U.S. support no matter the cost. Until the October 7th operation by Hamas and other resistance groups, Israel had succeeded in establishing a gallery of cultish faithful in the United States who have effectively controlled the narrative and silenced dissenting voices. If we are to accept the Merriam-Webster dictionary as great devotion to a person, idea, object, movement, or work, then the relationship between the United States and the Zionist regime can accurately be described as cultish. The Zionist regime's mythical narrative has seeped into the thinking and vocabulary of American politicians, academics, Christian ministers, mainstream media, and finally most Americans. Consequently, for many in positions of power and influence, common sense has been supplanted with Zionist mythical ideology and a cultish belief in heroic Zionist leaders, Nobel warriors, and peacemakers. There are no Palestinians in the Israeli story. The mantra of the Zionist regime, a land without people for a people without land, which reflects the belief of Israel's Zionist founders that Palestinians are not people, is a myth held today by most Jewish Israelis and by many in the United States of America. The Zionist regime's advocates are in some ways similar to former President Donald Trump's Make America Great Again disciples, who have been referred by some as a cult. Presented with overwhelming evidence of Trump's crimes and grift, they have remained loyal. After hundreds of reports, like that of Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and B'Tselem, documenting the Zionist regime's 76-year history of land theft, apartheid, oppression, torture, and genocide of Palestinians, Israel's loyalists remain steadfast. In 1983, after the condemnation it received for its disastrous invasion of Lebanon in 1982, the Zionist regime stepped up its propaganda campaign. The goal of what came to be known as Hasbara propaganda project was to guarantee that America never wavered in its political, economic, and military support and to make it next to impossible to critique Israel's actions. The Zionist regime has cynically wielded the cudgel of anti-Semitism to quash criticism. The threat of punishment, of being labeled anti-Semitic, looms over those who dare to question or challenge the ideology. It has been a fatally effective dissuader, an accusation that has destroyed the careers and reputations of many journalists, academics, entertainers, and politicians. Helen Thomas, for example, a respected member of the Washington Press Corps, had her 57-year career end after she publicly questioned U.S. support for the Zionist regime. An onslaught of well-orchestrated denunciations forced her retirement in 2010. Thomas later remarked, "You cannot criticize Israel in this country and survive." Popular host of a weekly MSNBC program, Mehdi Hassan, is a recent example of a journalist punished for making Palestinians visible to a national audience and for daring to criticize the Zionist regime. After 3 years on the air, the cable news network announced in November 2023 that his program would be canceled. Corporate news organizations like MSNBC have come to expect immense pressure if they go outside the level of acceptable discourse regarding Israel. They have therefore eschewed the Palestinian narrative and have become essentially an arm of Tel Aviv's propaganda network. Israeli Hasbara has also framed Palestinian resistance against military occupation as terrorism. The association of terrorism with Palestinians, Muslims, and the West Asia region has created an unhealthy climate of indifference and dispassion among many Americans, an indifference that has made the televised genocide of Palestinians acceptable. Just another news event.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We are almost approaching to the very last days of Ramadan, or maybe the last day of Ramadan. May Allah give us tawfiq, or chance, or His support, His blessings, His attention, inshallah, to become true servant for Him, true servant of God. What is the signs of true servants of God? In a few general, simple expressions, we can say those human beings, they always serve all humanity. Those who always care about all human beings, those who always love their God and love the God's people for the sake of God. Doesn't matter. They're Muslim or non-Muslims. This is These are Islamic values. We should love all human beings and we should support all human beings. We have to be happy with them. We have to be sad. When all humanity is sad, we should be sad, you know, because all humans are the family of God. All humans are the top or best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insan is afdalul makhluqat, ashraful makhluqat. So we are human beings are the best ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among his creation. So we have to be more careful for all human beings. This is the main thing. When we help each other, when we support each other, when we care about each other, and this is the, I can say in a words, in a sense or in an expression, this is almost one of the topmost worships to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a beautiful hadith which says شهر رمضان سيد الشهور وليلة القدر سيد العالي. Alhamdulillah, those who pass this beautiful Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny, they have achieved their goal, they have done their worship, they have done their munajat, their prayers, their du'as, inshallah. And as this month is the leader of all months, or is the head of all months, Sayyid al-Shuhur, well, because of being having this type of quality for this month, means you have achieved your goal, inshallah. And if you're not, just day or two left from this month, may Allah give us tawfiq to do something special in the last moments, in the last hours, in the last, all I can say is last hours, inshallah. And make sure value of yourself, value of your religion, value of your God, value of your book. Because there's a beautiful hadith from Rasulullah where he says, As-sa'im fi imadatillah wa in kana na'iman ala firashayi. The person who is fasting is in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he is sleeping on his bed. So if you're sleeping on your bed, and even though in this situation you are doing worship, so think about that. If you're doing some good to others, if you're doing some good to your family, to your friends, to your neighbor, if you're doing any type of dua, munajat, or some kind of prayer, reciting Quran, or you're trying hard to comprehend Quran, to understand Quran and Quranic values, how much you're going to make rewards if you sleep in this month and you're going to get rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because you're fasting. But if you do lots of other things beside that, which has a great reward, but if you're doing this in the month of Ramadan, so you, how many times is going to be multiplied? So inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq. And those who are going to eat very soon, inshallah, my congratulations to them. Those who are having eat, inshallah, congratulations to them. Or if not, maybe Allah give us tawfiq to achieve all the goals we wanted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful month. And nothing is going to happen unless Allah wishes to us. So we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, grant us the best of tawfiq to us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story. In
what is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. As the Israeli genocide in Gaza passes 6 months and the Palestinian fatalities of more than 33,200, outrage is increasing around the world. This is especially true in certain Muslim countries and some countries from the global south. Earlier this year, we saw South Africa taking the Israeli regime to the International Court of Justice, and now, beyond the Israeli entity, those which are complicit in its genocide are starting to feel increased pressure. First from civil society in their own countries, and now Nicaragua has taken Germany to the International Court of Justice for facilitating the Israeli genocide by supplying the regime with military equipment. Does this represent another change in the narrative against the Israeli regime and its partners in crime, the Western hegemonic front? Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Out of Manchester, Jahangir Mohammed, Director of Center